So, like I said, it's the second of our Frontline Sundays. And very kindly, Ali has agreed to be interviewed for a This Time Tomorrow. So what we're thinking about is actually most of our time is not spent in church. Most of our time is not spent in the community of the church either. Actually, most of our time is spent in other places. And whilst we're thinking about This Time Tomorrow, obviously we're looking into everyone's working week and saying, well, what's happening? What's going on? And how is God at work there? So like I say, Ali has agreed to let me interview her for this. Thank you very much, Ali. So first of all, it seems like a bit of a silly question when we're in lockdown, but where will you be this time tomorrow? More importantly, what will you be doing?
Well, this time tomorrow, picture the scene in the Woodhead household. All five of us are at home working in various places. That's plus the dog as well. Tim is in the kitchen, warmest place in the house. I'm in what is affectionately called the piano room, when we did have a piano before we realised that none of our children had any musical ability whatsoever. The children are in our various places. Alex, the middle one, tries to remain as horizontal for as long as possible during the day. And we're all trying to work. Tim's trying to balance the books for the NHS, obviously very difficult. And I work for Sustrans, so and I'm still working full time, and we are still really, really busy.
Right. OK, so thinking then about your work with Sustrans, that sounds interesting. What do you like about what you do?
Well, Sustrans, I do go on quite a bit about people travelling actively and the environment, and Sustrans is kind of its strapline, is the charity that makes it easier for people to walk and cycle. So what I like about working for Sustrans is it's about making a difference. So at the moment, I am working on very, very controversial low traffic neighbourhood projects, which is all about trying to reduce people's use of cars for the short journeys, for sort of 2 miles or what have you. So, and my job is about improving the health of people. So if you can get people traveling actively for those short journeys, then that has massive impacts on people's health and also on the environment as well. So there's all these horrendous statistics about air pollution, growth of air pollution. Over the last 10 years, the growth on residential streets has increased by 50%. And that's because obviously more cars, but people are now using kind of Google apps to try and shave 2 seconds off their journey. And so, you know, it's making really awful impacts on people that live on those streets, and it's health impacts too. So it's not just, you know, it's affecting people's health. And it's really about that. So I feel as though actually, even though these projects are really hard, and obviously with COVID and what have you, we have been working, you know, flat out. It is about making a difference. And I really, really passionately believe in trying to make a difference for people's lives and for the environment.
Brilliant. Yeah. So the next question that I've prepared you for is what is the pressure point in this for you? But just before we get there, Ali, are you responsible for the bus lanes heading in on Borton?
No. No, I'm just going to say the local authority has had a really hard time because they had to spend money within 4 weeks. And so they had to come up with these what's called tranche one projects, which that was one of them. And unless they put those in within 4 weeks, they couldn't access tranche two funding, which was the big pot of money. So all the tranche one projects could go in without any public consultation. All the rest of them now have to go through quite stringent public consultation and all that. So I think everyone has to be a little bit nicer to Quack because they were, you know, reacting to what central government was asking them to do, and they did do. But, you know, hey, so it makes it easier for people to come in by bus and for walking and cycling. So I don't think that's bad. So ducking from kind of other people. There you go.
Yeah, well, I'm a cyclist. I use the lane. So, you know, all good. OK, so apart from that, maybe including that in your work, what is the sort of the pressure point, if you like?
The pressure point, obviously, the low traffic neighbourhoods are very controversial at the moment. So the projects I'm working on, we've had to all our public engagement and has to go via Zoom. So that's really difficult. And people are still really aggressive and angry on Zoom meetings, which is really hard and really challenging to try and manage and deal with people's anger when you're just on a screen and try and keep everybody together. So that's a real pressure point. not working fast enough. I feel really passionate, and it's really upsetting to hear people who sort of deny climate change, who think that, you know, it doesn't affect them and we're stupid. So I feel really, you know, uptight about that. And I'm intolerant about that. I've just spent the last 10 minutes going, why is my neighbor backing out his car in the snow? Why would you want to do that? You know, why would you think that that is the most essential thing that you've got to do in a snows kind of thing, because it's snowing here in North Wales. So I have great intolerance. And trying to get people on board. Sometimes I'm blinkered and I cannot, I find it difficult to understand what I think is their viewpoint when I think it's wrong. So,
Fair enough. But despite all of that, what do you think might be God's purpose for you in your role there at the moment?
I think it is about making that change. It is about caring for the environment. And I think I've sort of had a long career, and I am actually sort of qualified landscape architect, but I have sort of just moved into Sustrans and sustainable transport, and it feels really good and it feels really comfortable and I feel really at home. And I've always been, I've always had two passions in life, really. One was plants and the other is always been my bike. And I've always saw my bicycle as a means of transport and being able to take me places and freedom. So I think it's just combining everything. And I've been sort of brought to this place to try and help make a difference. So I think God has had a hand in that, most definitely.
Right, brilliant. And if there were sort of top one, two, three things to pray for you in what you're doing at the moment?
I think it is for my intolerance, I think, to be quite honest. And I think it is about opening people's eyes and hearts to the messages that are out there, and to really take them on board. And that it's just small changes people can do that actually were going to make that really big impact for the whole environment. And I think God has given us one world and we have to look after it. And you know, if that does mean making a few changes, well, I think that's all for the good.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. If it's all right, let's pray for you right now in that. That'll be brilliant. So Lord, we want to pray for Ali. We want to pray for the work that she does. We know that you created the world that we live in, that you love the world that we live in. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to have the same kind of attitude and in the work that Ali's doing, trying to promote that kind of sustainability. We pray that you would help her in that. We pray that you would help her to work with people from where we all are right now to where we might be in the future, and that you would give her that kind of the grace she needs when people are doing things which she clearly disagrees with. And we pray, Lord, that you would give her that strong sense of your calling, your leading, and your purpose in everything that she does. And we pray for these neighbourhood schemes that, again, you would help her to be a voice for peace and reason when people are getting agitated about things that are being changed in their neighbourhoods. So we pray for her in that. And we pray, Lord, that you would help all of us to have that attitude towards the environment around us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And just before you go, Ali, would it be possible for you to bring back to the surface that plan that was around years and years and years ago to put a cycle and pedestrian bridge between Huntington and the Meadows? That would be fantastic.
Well,
if you could just put in a word for us, that would be great.
Yeah, well, things are bubbling. That's all I'm going
to. All right. Okay.
Well, it hasn't died a death. I think it's just funding, but it's not. It hasn't died. That's all.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, I didn't realise that. That's good. No. That's very good. I'm going to move us on. We're going to watch the Frontline video for the second Frontline Sunday. Again, just thinking, but the idea is to get all of us to be thinking about the possibilities that God has for us wherever we are. Thank you.
10 hours a day.
6 days a week.
Whenever I'm needed.
Every Saturday morning.
I spend my time.
In a place that matters to God.
With people that matter to God.
My front line.
In the stresses.
Successes.
Problem solving.
Tantrum resolving.
Laughter.
Teamwork.
Jokes.
Tears.
Boredom.
Tension.
Cups of coffee.
Cans of Coke.
God is working with me.
He helps me see what he sees.
Put here by God.
He knows the day ahead.
This place is rich with possibilities.
This is my front line.
But do we live in the light of the rich God possibilities that come along with every moment of our lives? Where will you be this time tomorrow? What possibilities does God have for you in that? That's going to be sort of the focus, if you like, of our prayer of confession this morning. But after the service, I'll also give lots of opportunities for people to talk a little bit about where they will be this time tomorrow as well, if you would like to do that. So as we come to confess to God, the Spirit of the Lord fills the world and knows our every word and deed. Let us then open ourselves to the Lord and confess our sins in penitence and in faith. In a dark and disfigured world, we have not held out the light of life. Lord, have mercy. In a hungry and despairing world, we failed to share our bread. Christ, have mercy. In a cold and loveless world, we've kept the love of God to ourselves. Lord, have mercy. And of course, we know that when we do come to God saying, have mercy, that act of faith is exactly what brings the mercy about, because that's the way God works with us. So may God, who loved the world so much that he gave his son to be our saviour, forgive us our sins and make us holy to serve him in the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We are going to come to our Bible reading, and Jamie is going to read for us. Jamie, you'll unmute.
Appreciate you. Is this good?
Yep.
Fantastic. The reading today is taken from Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 to 17. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were descending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father, Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Let me pray as we come to consider God's word this morning. So, Lord, we pray that you would be speaking to us through your word. We pray that you would help us to see that you are with us. And you would help us to think about the possibilities that that brings about. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, so here's a question for us as we start. Where is it that you meet God? Where do you meet God? And specifically, where have you been when you have come away with a deep sense of encounter with the Lord? A specific incident, maybe. Where was it? Where did it happen? Just bring that to mind. Can you think of a specific moment? Because this whole idea of where we meet God seems like a very strange question to be asking a congregation like ours. You know, fairly straightforwardly, we might say, well, everywhere is where we meet God. And of course, from our discussions last week, I can just find the right slide, we identified loads of places where, in a sense, there is a God possibility, because these are the places where we are. But have there been specific times in some of these places, in other places, where you've had that deep sense of, I have met with the Lord? Because we might well say, hey, everywhere is where we meet God. But then we find ourselves heading off to the cathedral for evensong, or we take in the thin places in Northumbria or Lindisfarne. Or maybe we're not from that tradition and we arrive hours early to get on the front row at New Wine. Or maybe we're pilgrimaging on the Camino across northern Spain towards the Cathedral of Santiago de Compostela. Maybe that's our thing. Well, obviously we wish we could, not these days, but in years gone by, we might have been able to pilgrimage there. Where do we meet with God? The idea of this second Frontline Sunday, I think it's been coming out so far during the service, is that despite anything we might do to search out God, what we discover is that he is already with us wherever we are. Yes, maybe because of all the searching in those different pilgrimages might have entailed. Yes, maybe God does reveal himself to us in those strange places. But the idea is actually no more there than where we are right now, here, wherever here is for you right now. In today's reading, this stairway to heaven dream comes right after Jacob has cheated his brother out of his birthright, taken the blessing, and then he's had to do a runner because his brother is out to kill him. The circumstances are unique, but actually there is also a sense in which Jacob could be any one of us. He's sort of a person of faith. We know that because he has recognized the value of the blessing. But within that, he's utterly flawed. We know that he's sly. We know that he's devious. And actually, even from just after this passage, we know that he's always doubting. Right after this passage, he's still saying to God, if you will be with me, not because you are with me. So he is a person of faith, but he's flawed and he's doubting. And where does he meet God? He meets God just where he happens to be. He's running away in verse 11. The sun sets. He stops for the night. In Jacob's day, Bethel was not a destination. It was not a town. It was not anything. It was just where he happened to be. And as he sleeps, he dreams. And as he dreams, in verses 12 and 13, he meets the Lord. And as with all encounters with God, actually, it's quite ambiguous. God will not let himself be proven. The cynic can say, oh, it was just a dream, nothing miraculous there. But in faith, it was encounter enough for Jacob to set up the stone afterwards, saying, surely the Lord is in this place, in verse 16. It's a little bit like the passage we had from 2 weeks ago when Jesus was baptized. Heaven, which is right here, even though we can't see it, was torn open just for a moment. And the ladder that Jacob sees in the dream, it goes from here to just a few meters over there, and yet heaven is there too. So yes, Jacob, the Lord is in this place. But we can't force him to reveal himself. But just sometimes he graciously does. You see, a few chapters earlier in Genesis, at Babel, the people had assumed that they could set up their own stairway to heaven. The tower that they were trying to build to reach heaven. They had assumed that they could force God's hand. But actually, what they discovered was that these encounters with God can't be forced. God won't let himself be proven. We can't guarantee that you will fall down, overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit when you go to new wine. We can't guarantee it. We can't lock God in the cathedral and say, you'll certainly meet him if you go for evensong. We can't tie him to the pilgrimage route. Travel there and he will definitely walk with you and talk with you. Graciously, he may do all of these things, but he won't be forced. And actually, if he were forced, we'd all be in quite a lot of trouble, because when he shows up, everything changes. How much change can you take? When God shows up, everything changes. It's a critical moment. Not a critical moment, and therefore God shows up. But God shows up, and therefore it becomes a critical moment. I think we can only take so much of that. Abraham was called from Haran to the promised land. And Jacob, now, who is the inheritor of the promise, is running back. Bethel is his last stop before he leaves the land. God is showing up. God is calling him to return. God is making it a critical moment. He's reminding Jacob that he is the inheritor of the promises made to Abraham. So the reminder in verse 13, I will give you the land, says God. And in verse 14, descendants like the dust of the earth, and all peoples will be blessed through you. These are the promises that Abraham received from God, which God is now repeating for Jacob. And the promise in verse 15, I am with you. I will watch over you. I will bring you back. Jacob, wherever you are, God is with you. So encounters with God turn ordinary activities into critical moments, moments when everything changes. Like when Moses, out shepherding, met God in a burning bush. Moses was doing something very ordinary, and there was God, and everything changed. Or when Elijah was busy hiding, he met God in the still, small voice. Or when Mary, looking for the body of Jesus, met the resurrected Lord. Each time, everything changes. But we can't repeat those experiences. God won't be proven. We can't go back to the same place and have the same thing happen all over again. I've had the privilege of being able to go to St. Catherine's Monastery at the foot of Mount Sinai. I've seen the bush, which is alleged to be the burning bush. I stood there. Nothing. No fire. No voice of God. No calling. I've climbed the mountain where Moses met and received the Lord. It was a beautiful, clear weather day. Okay, it got a little hot as the day went on, but the cloud didn't descend. No rumblings of thunder, no flashes of lightning. Actually, where I have had one of those striking moments of encounter, one of those how great thou art kind of moments, it was out walking in the hills near where we used to live in China. But I'd never go back there to try and recreate the experience, because it doesn't work like that. It's such a temptation to think that we can tie God down to certain places. After Jacob's encounter, Bethel obviously got a reputation and became a place of pilgrimage. Centuries later, in 1 Kings 12, Jeroboam, the first Israelite king after the kingdom has split, sets up idols at Bethel, because they no longer have access to the temple in Jerusalem. It's this idea, God met Jacob here, so he has to meet you here too. That's the kind of lie that he's spinning. And he's even sent a prophet who tells him how wrong he is. But actually, it's not for another few centuries before the good King Josiah destroys the high place in 2 Kings 23. And in between those times, the prophets Amos and Jeremiah, they both describe Bethel as if the place itself were an idol. The places we venerate can easily become idols. Where do we encounter God? Actually, we encounter God in the ordinary, as we go about our ordinary business, possibly when we least expect it, but primarily when he has plans. And we can't force it, but we can be open to it. Are you wishing, hoping, praying that God has plans for your workplace? We can be open to it. We can be praying for it. We can expect it. We can recognize God's presence with us wherever we are, even if it's not in these powerful ways. And then when it happens, it just happens. I have a friend who encountered God in a vision with angels. Sounds good, doesn't it? But it was while she was driving. Possibly not the most convenient time. What would it be like if God showed up in the middle of your work meeting? What would it be like if God showed up in a powerful way when you were in front of students? What would it be like if you were in the middle of a delicate medical procedure? What's it like when we are aware of and thinking about the fact that actually God is already there wherever we are? God knows and cares about wherever you are in everyday life. And he has plans for you uniquely in your circumstances. Sometimes I guess you'll just recognize that and get on with it. And other times he shows up in extraordinary ways. Either way, the encouragement is that wherever you are, he's already there. And the challenge is to us. Is are we looking out for him? Are we expectant, hoping, praying for what he'll do? Let me close with a prayer. Lord, we want to thank you that wherever we are, you are already there. Lord, help us to be on the lookout for what you are doing. Help us to follow where you lead. And help us to rejoice in the fact that you lead us at all. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And we are going to carry on in an attitude of prayer. I'm going to ask the Poltons, if I can't see them at the moment on my screen. There they are. Are you going to lead us?
We're just recovering, fetching them.
Yep, great.
We are thankful for the new American president and pray that he will help us help them and make wise decisions.
Thank you for the successful rollout of the vaccines in the UK and elsewhere. We pray for a continued supply of vaccine and that wise decisions will be made about second doses and that people will continue to behave responsibly as their immunity builds up.
Though the pandemic is bad, we pray for you for some benefits, and in particular positive impact on climate, more time with family, more efficient schoolwork.
Lord, we look forward to a time when the restrictions can ease, when schools can safely open, when our church can reopen, when we can spend time with family and friends again. And we pray for wisdom for the decision makers, that again, wise choices would be made.
But before that time, Father, we pray for those working to fight this disease in the NHS as hospitals continue to be under sustained pressure. Please give our NHS staff strength sufficient rest, energy, and encourage them in these trying times. We also pray for these reserves of energy for our teachers and lecturers who are also giving their all to deliver online teaching. For all these groups, may you prepare the mental health support to endure and eventually emerge from this crisis.
Dear Lord, we pray for the children that need to go back to school because they've had enough of homeschooling and working in the same rooms as their siblings, and to give children patience as well as adults. We pray for the animals, houses and people affected by the flood. We pray for safety as people play in the water and snow. Safety for those that do not play.
And for all these things, we lift these up to you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you very much. Yes, we're going to, for our closing song today, we're going to sing Great Your Faithfulness. The part of the chorus is, through the years, you'll always be there. This sense of God always with us. So Lord of all creation, thank you that our everyday ordinary places matter to you and we make a difference there. We offer you the places where we live, work, study and play. May we serve you and bear witness to you wherever we are this week. May we know your presence with us in these places, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen.